In the gospel today, our Lord assures the apostles at the Last Supper, "It is expedient to you that I go." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The apostles were sorrowful at the very thought of our Lord's departure, being left alone. Those terrible words, "I go." Being alone all by themselves, isolated from others, quarantined by fear. That's the thing, the curse of this Corona conspiracy, a deliberate plan to disorient and to suppress and to sadden people, so as to subject them, to enslave them, really, serfs who may not leave their land without the liege lord's leave or say so. Father Cicada has been home for a month now, and we're still careful not to leave him alone for any length of time. He receives regular therapy during the week at home and reads much of the time. He was laughing to himself, sort of a laugh of wonder and of admiration, when I saw him Friday afternoon. He had been reading an article about World War II in Italy. It was 1943, Mussolini had fallen, and all was in confusion. There was looting going on at Turin, the capital of the north. Father Ricosa and his priests are there today. Well, the Germans had invaded, and the Allies had just landed too. And meanwhile, 2,000 Italian soldiers, obedient to their commanding officer's orders, waited in the barracks. On the 11th of September, the German tanks arrived, surrounded the building, and the men were ordered outside and lined up, ready to be marched off to the train station, to be deported to Germany as slave labor for the Reich. 500 cavalrymen were told to mount their horses and to follow behind the column. The men, bewildered and docile, did as they were told. And then something extraordinary happened. Hundreds of women had gathered outside the barracks. Now, these women began to throw stones at the mounted Italian soldiers, yelling, "Escape! Go home! Go to your mothers!" The horses panicked and bolted. Men fell or were dragged from their saddles by the women. They were hustled into doorways or down alleys and hidden. Over the next few days, they were given civilian clothes and escorted to the train station by girls posing as their fiancés. Then they boarded local trains and disappeared into the countryside. Along with some 100,000 or so Italian troops who already had the gumption to ignore their vacillating officers and take to the hills before the Germans could round them up. Escape. Go home. Go to your mothers. And blessed were those mesmerized men who had women to wake them up and send them home, and not to the slave camps prepared for them. And more blessed surely the men who had mothers still waiting for them. Ladies, keep this story in mind. I'm thinking it may yet be useful to you and to our men. Mother's Day. May it be a militant Mother's Day. Now, it may be that all of this nightmare since March, which sees so many men vacillating, undecided, docile, is but a practice session, and that life will ease up in the weeks ahead. But be sure that the gates of hell, the Bill Gates, I mean, with mandatory vaccines made out of little bits of aborted babies, designed, as they did in Africa, to reduce the population at the ready, and trackers for anyone who wants to escape, and all of the rest in the next step. Be sure those gates of hell will return. Be ready. You have no idea, women, of your strength. There's more to Mother's Day than a sentimental card, perhaps a visit, or a plant. Just as there is more to motherhood than the mere physical fact of it. But did you know something? Speaking of physical facts, I learned this yesterday, that a man's arms align differently from a woman's. A man's stretched out, palms up, lay out straight. But a woman's are slightly curved. The curve allows women to cradle a baby well. And of course, her body is made by Almighty God to carry children in the womb. The heart of motherhood involves years of actually carrying children, and later calling out to them, cajoling them even. Every woman, though, is called to spiritual motherhood. Sisters and maiden aunts and those not called to the altar are called to this. An essential part of mothering is holding, not only physically, as a mother holds on to an infant, but also in a spiritual sense, to take others into their hearts, to hold them in prayer and in love and in care, to help them become better than they were before, to awaken them to danger and to spring into action boldly, aggressively even. Like those mothers in Turin so long ago. Escape. Go home. Go to your mothers. With maybe a well-aimed but gentle toss of a stone to get their attention. She's still holding the stone while she's crying out and calling. And of course, she's praying as well. Mothers always multitask. Like the mother of all mothers blessed, we are met this morning to honor. We renew today our devotion, our consecration to Our Lady under the title of Consolation. You know that's one of Our Lady's oldest titles, Consoler of the Afflicted. It goes back to the time of Saint Monica, so afflicted, desperate for her boy's conversion from a wicked heresy and from an immoral life, and how that Our Blessed Lady herself appeared to Saint Monica with consolation. Her miraculous image is right here in the state of Ohio, the Basilica in Cary, you may know, although it's locked away today, like so many people these days, dazed, obedient to the electronic voice, to an overreaching government, and to uninformed but well-meaning family members. Consolation, let us know. We prayed on the way in this morning, con, you know that's the Latin prefix cum, meaning with or to be with, and then solatio from Latin for the lonely one, solus, the one who is alone. That's how Our Lady was the first Good Friday night, all alone, abandoned after the burial of her son. No mother should be, not today, not ever. To console Our Lady, to ask her who is the consolation of the afflicted, doesn't mean, don't fear it, it doesn't mean to take away the pain. It just means to break through the barricade and to be there bravely and to say, you are not alone. I am with you, and together we will manage. Don't be afraid. I am here. And this is consolation. We all need to give it, and these days, God knows, we all need to receive it. But because Our Lady is a mother, there's more. We tend to equate consolation with sympathy, a murmured phrase at a funeral, perhaps a well-chosen card, flowers, or maybe if you're old-fashioned, actually to write a little letter. St. Paul's letter to the Philippians in particular, I'm thinking because we had it for Palm Sunday and we had the epistle again last Sunday for Holy Cross Day. His letter is a good example of this kind of consolation. He's trying to console the Philippians, but he's developing the theme from his own life, the ups and downs, the light and the dark of the life of an apostle. But it's a joyful epistle. But there's a challenge there. And the challenge is this. Just as consolation with a Catholic mother might present a challenge, which is why the Augustines often try to avoid their Monicas. In the ancient world, the wisdom of Greek philosophy with which St. Paul was familiar, to console meant more to encourage a change of heart, to help towards lifting emotions from grief and distress to joy. St. Paul, ever practical, presents from his own experience plenty of examples. His ability to rejoice while suffering in hardship. And that is everything in the Christian life. But you can't do it alone. Don't think you can. And if it seems that sometimes our Lord is gone from this wicked world of ours, that's no reason to ride off in the train meekly and passively to the prison camp. Not when you have a mother. Her arms are made to cradle you still. But she may use them to toss a stone at you, but just to get your attention. Escape. Go home. Go to your mother. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.